Trinity Sunday. I love the completion of, and actually it's the beginning and the end. God is always Trinity. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it says in Genesis that God made us in his image and likeness. And we are triune beings. You know this, right? Your body, soul, and spirit. Soul, of course, being emotions. Anybody know that they aren't controlled by the mind? Yeah, it's an interesting thing. We live in a culture where it's very easy to break things down and look at them and understand them. So we're very comfortable with the Trinity. Not so easy for Hebrews, you know, because they see things in the unity of wholeness. And so, you know, as we approach the Trinity, we find out that God loves us enough to touch us at every point of what he created us to be. Isn't that great? You know, he touches us in our relationship, our familiar relationship with the Father, you know, the love of a child and all of what that means, and being somebody that saves us, and then that which gives us power to transform and be renewed. All of that, the wholeness of that gift is such a precious thing that God gives to his people. And when you try to explain that in one sentence or two, you're in trouble. When we went to Africa, they asked us to prepare our testimony, our witness. And we were asked to make it simple because what will happen there, they said, is unless they acknowledge the fact that you have a personal relationship with the living God, they won't listen to you. You know, in this country, they'll listen to anybody about anything. The only thing they have problem, it seems, to listen to is the things of God. So we have a challenge on our hands, you know, as the people of God. And it says John 3:16. Did you like that? It's a little different translation today. There's such an anointing on that. You could find out what happened to Roz as she was reading it. The Holy Spirit came upon her and anointed her, and she began to find that emotionally, it's such a gift. That's why you'll see signs at sporting events and everything. People know that this is a heartbeat, is to tell people how much God loves us. So much that he gave his only begotten son. And it said here, this is how God, I'm adding here the Father, loved the world. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, so that everyone who believes him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's kind of the culmination, by the way, of today's gospel. But before that, it tells this wonderful story of Nicodemus. And I've always been fascinated with this because Nicodemus, obviously the Holy Spirit had been working in him. You know, he had questions. He wanted to know what it was that God was doing in Jesus. And he knew the message Jesus was teaching was a little different from those things that he believed. And so he went to Jesus. And it says, he says this, unless you are born again, which means also born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, I can barely see you right now, you know. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Now, this is going to be a shock. Are you born again Christians?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Somebody asked you, are you a born again Christian? Amen.
Yes. Amen.
It might not mean to you exactly what it does to the person asking the question. Doesn't matter, you know, because if you're not a born-again Christian, you're not a Christian. That's what it just said, right? So you are a born-again Christian. And it says, what will happen is when you're born again by the Spirit, you're going to be able to see the things of the Spirit. You know, your eyes will be open. You know, the veil will be lifted, and suddenly those things of God will suddenly make sense to you. And then it says in John 3:5-6, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. So you have entrance and vision. You can't see it, you can't enter it unless you are born again of the Spirit of God. Why? It says humans can reproduce only human life. I like the way they phrase this. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. It comes alive for you once you are born of the Spirit of the living God. Suddenly those things that, you know, were just kind of out there and didn't really make a lot of sense, suddenly they come into focus. Something happens to them. I remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I came to church the next Sunday and an interesting thing happened. The Bible came alive for me. You know, up till that time, I had been in church every Sunday. I heard it. You know, they would read it. And to me, it was interesting, but it wasn't transformative. It had no power for me. In fact, I could use the Bible to go to sleep at night. You know, it just didn't do it for me. Somebody said, well, if you read the Bible, you're going to come to faith. Unless you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, unless the Spirit of God is alive in you, suddenly it's often, you know, you won't get it. But when the Spirit quickens within you and you see the things of the kingdom of God, then all of a sudden it just starts to jump off the page. And you go, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. Oh, wow. In fact, even today, after 30 years of ordained ministry, I'll find things that will leap off the page at me still. You know, you think by now, you know, I would have had all the leaping I needed, you know. And yet it just continues to be alive. You know, it's why it's called the living Word of God. When we're alive in the Spirit, the Word is alive. And it comes alive in us, and it's transformative, and it's powerful, and it changes everything it touches. In John 16, it said this, there is so much more I want to tell you. This is Jesus, just before he's going to leave them. But you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me, this is Jesus, glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Holy Spirit receiving from Jesus. You know, it's fascinating how the Trinity works. Jesus is always pointing us where? To the Father. Our Father, who art in heaven. He taught us how to pray, right? Jesus always prayed. He's turning us to the Father. The Father, by the way, is always turning us what? To Jesus, right? And Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is always turning us to who? To Jesus, right? And so the unity of the Trinity is constantly working. And we find ourselves finding the unity of that wholeness because they keep turning to one another. And he says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. The beauty of the Trinity is that unity of purpose, the unity of the wisdom, but it's all designed, by the way, as a gift of love to us so we can interact with the Spirit. Sometimes it's very interesting. People haven't always had a great relationship with their human fathers. You know, and often what will happen is they'll find themselves coming into a personal encounter with Jesus, and Jesus will introduce them to his Father in heaven. They'll say, now this is what fatherhood is really all about. This is what perfect fatherhood is about, and I want to introduce you to Dad. In fact, you can call him Abba. You can call him Daddy. Because, you know, you need to understand what this kind of love and this kind of relationship is all about. And so, he taught us so many wonderful things in the Lord's Prayer, how to pray. And he says that we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who leads us to the Father. And the Holy Spirit unfolds for us what it is the Father is saying through Jesus to his people. And so there's this wonderful, beautiful relationship that flows. He said in John 16, I have spoken these matters in figures of speech, but soon I'll stop speaking figuratively. I will tell you plainly about the Father. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. If you don't know that, you don't know how much the Father loves you. Jesus will tell you. You ask him about his dad. Ask him about the Father. He'll tell you how wonderful. So the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from God. Beauty of this wonderful Trinity. John 17 said this. This is just before. It says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus, the one you sent to earth. So today we celebrate that beauty, that wonderful unity of the Trinity. As you go look at the church year, we find ourselves in Advent. Remember, we find ourselves remembering what it's like to look at the Old Testament scriptures again and have how they're pointing to the coming of the Messiah and how that's all unfolding. And at the same time, we're being reminded Jesus is coming again. And that whole relationship is there. And then the birth of Jesus. And then, you know, and then we have the wonderful season of Epiphany. And then we have, you know, the whole thing about the resurrection. And then the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then in case you missed it, we have Trinity Sunday. The wholeness of the Trinity is celebrated this day. Please always remember, we celebrate the Trinity every day. People love you. Do you believe in three gods? Absolutely not. We believe in God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, I pray that if anyone here has had trouble understanding the Trinity, that you, who promised to lead us into all truth, would reveal to those persons who might struggle with that the understanding of the gift of love you have given them, of revealing yourself in Trinity of persons. We ask you, Lord God, today to bless us through the Father and through the Son and through the Holy Spirit as we worship you in your unity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.